this morning, I want to deal with a topic that's been burning in my heart this week. And Acts chapter number 2. If you're glad you saved this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter number 2. The Bible said, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly," I like that word, it messes up church services. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind." You want to know what it sounds like in heaven? Well, He's fixing to show us. He said it came as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they was a-sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard him speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans?" Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. I want to preach on this thought this morning on the day that the power came. On the day that the power came. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, it was a day of divine prophecy. Isn't it amazing how God's done put in here the things that's coming down the pike? Now, I believe with all of my heart that God has put some things in here that do us good to know about. Some things that's coming our way. But here, the day the power came, it was a day of divine prophecy. It was an appointed promise in Ezekiel chapter number 36 and verse 23. If you've got a Scofield, you can find that around page 880. But you'll notice that he said this, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. From all your idols will I cleanse you." And here it is, verse 26, on an appointed promise. He said, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." Now Ezekiel, this great prophet, had prophesied that something's going to happen. All through this old Bible, men were accustomed of the Holy Ghost coming upon them, but the Holy Ghost did not live in them. But here, the day the power came, as the Holy Ghost came and filled these people or indwelt them, it was an appointed promise. Why, in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 24, and in verse number 49, there you'll see something about this promise. He said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now the day that the power came, it was a day of prophecy. I'm glad the Lord had told them it was coming a day that you will be endued with power. This word endued simply means to be fitted into a garment or to slide in into a vessel. I'm glad in this day and hour that since the day that the power came, the Holy Ghost indwells men. I'm glad I'm sealed to the day of redemption. In other words, He's put the seal upon me, and I'm His till death do us part. I'm glad the day the power came, it was a day of divine prophecy, for it was an appointed promise. But number two, it was an apparent presence. The Bible said that you could notice it, or you could see it. Have you ever seen anybody stand up and testify or sing and preach and say, "Now, my goodness, there's something different about them. There is an apparent presence." I'm glad we can go to church this morning when people can stand up and you say, "My, my, my, that ain't them that's a shouting and a praising God. It's the Holy Ghost in them that's a praising and a shouting God." It is an apparent presence. In John chapter number 7, in John 7, and verse 37, the Bible says this, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now you'll notice there was an apparent presence. He said, "In you would be rivers of living water." Can I say today that it cannot come out of you if it's not in you? It cannot come out of you unless it's in you. Honey, I love to get around somebody that's in them when it comes out of them. I love to see it when it splashes out on people, especially the visitors. They come in looking at this big old pretty church and they say, "My, my, it looks just like a Presbyterian outfit. Everything matches and everything's color coordinated. Why, they've even got lines on the parking lot. Surely it will be slow in going. Surely it will be a mild service." About the time they sit down and the song is turned, somebody begins to shout, "Would somebody help me preach this morning?" And then all of a sudden you'll notice this, that it begins to spill out on other people, and they go to getting excited and go to getting blessed, and them visitors look like they swallowed a polecat. Somebody say amen right there. But boy, it cannot come out of you unless it's in you. My goodness, we ought to realize that this morning, that the day that the power came, it was a day of divine prophecy. It was an appointed promise, but it was an apparent presence. I'm glad I've been around some people that you could tell that the Holy Ghost was oozing out of them. Matter of fact, we ought to have that kind of life that it'll come out on us before we leave the house of God. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm not emotional." That ain't what she said. That ain't what he said. Amen. You say, "Well, I'm not emotional." Is that right? You go down to the ball game and you forget about who you are there. We'll come to the house of God and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. This, where in your Bible are we supposed to be so meek and lowly in the church house that nobody's got to shout? Amen? My goodness, it's divine prophecy. It's an appointed promise. It's an apparent presence. I'm glad I've been around somebody that there was a presence on. I remember before I was saved, Brother Dennis Danielner in Heard County, Georgia.
that Macedonia Baptist Church. I wished I knowed him. I know he's in glory now, Brother David, but I remember your mom and daddy used to go there, but this old man one night at revival meeting, he stood up over at the side window, and man, he got red faced. He was happy. He went to swinging from here and there, and he about scared me to death. All of a sudden, he cried and he said, "Hey," he said, "I got under the spout where the glory came out." He said, "The day I got saved," he said, "I went home and the dog I've been kicking off the porch," said, "I reached down and said, 'Hello, honey.' That old milk cow," he said, "even looked different to him." I'm telling you this morning, friend, the Holy Ghost will make a difference in your life. Thank God for men that's had divine presence about their lives. Man, you remember when Moses went on the mountain, received the law, he came back down, he had to have a veil on him because he glowed in such a presence, had been with the Holy God 40 days and 40 nights. Could you imagine, my friend, what kind of glow, what kind of presence we'd have if we was cooped up with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights? Well, we'd have to have a veil about it. People couldn't take us in this day and hour. My goodness, the day that the power came. Oh, Lord, it was a day of appointed promise. It was a day of apparent presence. But it was also an appropriate person. The Holy Ghost is a person. Now, talking about the day the power came, a day of divine prophecy, an appointed promise, apparent presence, but it was an appropriate person. Look at 1 John 5 and verse number 7. 1 John 5. And verse number 7. The Bible said, "For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word," who's that? Oh, that's Jesus. "And the Holy Ghost." And look at here. "And these three are one." Let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is not an influence, friend. He's a person. And so you'll notice in 1 John 5, verse 7, there are three. I wish Jehovah's Witness could get a hold of this in my Bible. Explain this out. Honey, Jesus was more than a good man. He was the God-man manifested in the flesh. I'm glad I can pastor and just preach how I want to. Thank God somebody ain't got me snapped on a chain. "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, water, and blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God's greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God," watch this, I'm fixing to run, "shout, hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar. Because he believed not the record that God gave of His Son." Now watch that. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." It was an appropriate person. Isn't that amazing now? The day you were saved, watch this, 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse number 14. There the Bible reads this: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." What are you talking about, this divine prophecy, the day the power came? Oh, it was an appointed promise. It was an apparent present, but it was an appropriate person. The Lord came. The day that the Lord saved you, He moved in you. And can I tell you, He is an appropriate person this morning. Now, we better be careful where we go, because we're taking Christ with us. And I'm going to tell you this. You can grieve Him real easy. You better be careful of what you let Him hear through the week. His feelings get hurt real easy. Matter of fact, we can grieve Him and we can quench Him. And my friend, when we grieve Him, no doubt God is wanting to do something in us. But when we quench Him, God's wanting to do something out of us. And He is a divine person with feelings this morning. But my goodness,
What about this appropriate person? The day the power came, he came by the Holy Ghost and moved in their lives. Isn't it amazing the day we got saved, we got more than what we thought, didn't we? Brother Steve wondered why he feels so light today. Jesus is inside lifting in him. It's a big difference. Jesus on the outside knocking and Jesus on the inside getting out. So the day the power came, it was this. It was a day of divine prophecy. Number two, it was a day of distinct purpose. My goodness, this day of Pentecost came. It was a day of distinct purpose. You say, Pastor, what was it? You see, he came to baptize a baptism. He came to baptize a baptism. Look at Mark 1 and verse number 8. Mark 1 and verse number 8. He said, I indeed have baptized you with water. That's what John said. But he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Now things is going to pick up. And 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. You say, preacher, slow down. I can't keep up. Get you one of these tabs on your Bible. Or just hush and listen. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, John the Baptist said, hey, boys, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The day He baptized us in the family of Christ, He placed us in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And let me tell you something, friend. The baptism is not a second work of grace. Every person that's ever been saved at that time, at that moment, they were baptized in the family of Christ. They didn't get on the floor and flop like fish and act like they're goofy.
Amen.
I'm still preaching this morning. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. The day they placed us in Christ, the distinct purpose, He came to baptize a baptism. I want to tell you, I'm glad I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. He put me in the family of Christ, and thank God I'm His, and He's mine, and I'm enjoying this trip. I've been baptized by the Holy Ghost. Now, watch your Bible. This distinct person, he came to baptize a baptism, but secondly, he came to build a body. Came to build a body. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 12, watch this. For as the body is one, they're not Baptists and Church of God's and Methodists. There's one body, and that's Christ's body. First, the bodies. Now, I think everybody ought to be a Baptist. They got total right to be wrong if they want to. Somebody say amen right there. Some of y'all looking a little pinky looking this morning. For as the body's one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. We're not the only church in town. You know, I done found out folks in the body of Christ 8,000 miles from here. It's a big body. Oh, it's a blessed body. You know, I don't know why Christians can't get along. Muslims can. I don't know why Christians can't simply just love one another and drop these axes and these tom-toms. Amen. My goodness, if it wasn't for the grace of God, none of us would be saved. I don't know why in the world you want to look down your nose at somebody and think they deserve what they're getting. Why, you ought to be in hell this morning. You say, well, they just get what they deserve. What in the world did we deserve? You think we're here because we deserve this? Honey, it's mercy and it's great. Thank God He didn't give us justice. He gave us mercy. The body of Christ. And these blackens.
Some of you boys are sailing them rebel flags. I hate the busty bars and stripes this morning. But let me tell you, these black folks saved. Amen. These red folks saved. These yellow folks saved. Praise God, I don't know what I am, but I'm saved. Oh, don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. We're in the body of Christ. I see my black brother the other day. I was preaching in Florida. He and his sister came. They hugged me. Praise God. I'm glad he preaches here. Amen. What a blessing. You know, God will just bless you if you want to be blessed. If you want to be an old stick in the mud, just stay there, honey. But God's in the blessing business. Now, he's still got a standard. I better run on. I'm going to get in trouble. Okay, now watch this in your Bible. It's a distinct purpose to baptize a baptism, but it was to build a body. I love this. I need to straighten some of y'all out this morning on the radio. I know it's none here to be straightened out. Colossians 1 and verse number 18. Colossians 1 and verse number 18. Talk about this body. Watch this. Verse 17, He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. God never designed the church to be run by the people. The church house has always been developed to be a theocracy, not a democracy. You know why church is in a mess today? Because they got about 12 businessmen know nothing about the Holy Ghost making all the decisions for the people. And that's why the church has got so worldly. I went to Carrollton, Georgia the other day. They had merry-go-round set up. They had a kiddie slide. They had everything. I thought we were supposed to be a church. Amen. Not an amusement park. Go to Six Flags, but do it on Saturday. Amen. We're not in the entertainment business. We're in the preaching business. We're in the soul-saving business. I ain't seen nobody get saved on a merry-go-round yet. I ain't seen nobody get saved on a pony ride. Shake your mule head this morning. Now, Scott, you sat there like a calf at a new... I'll pull both guns this morning. I'm telling you, friend, I'm glad it came to baptize a baptism, and I'm glad it came to build a body, and I'm glad I'm in the body of Christ following the head. If you got six heads, you've got a freak. Something belongs in a museum. Boy, I just heard the radio say click, 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 click. They all cut off that time, didn't they? What happened to the preachers that would listen to God and make the decisions for the people? Because people's ignorant. They know what Grandpa said, but they don't know what this book says. Let me go on and get something right there. Some of y'all looking goo-goo-eyed at me right quick. It ain't on outline, but the Holy Ghost telling me to turn there, so we're going to turn there. We may not get out to 2:30. Look over here in the book of Hebrews right quick. Book of Hebrews. Now, you can't help Goofy. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. What? Sound like to me there's an order at the church house. Amen. Remember them which have the rule. What? Not with you, honey, but over you. Amen. Who are they? I want to know who they are. Who's spoken to you the word of God. Whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. Ah, Brother Ken's a dictator. No, he's a pastor. And he don't like wolves, Brother David. Look what he said, verse 8. Well, the days change. Jesus said he hadn't. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then look what he said in verse 17. Boy, some of you ought to get that word down. It'd help you obey. Obey. Oh, fuss and fight with them that have the rule over you. You ain't going nowhere till you can follow. Some of you think you know about this pastoring. You can't help nobody pastoring or you can be pastored. Amen. Think you know everything. I know what I do. Oh, do you? Well, then why ain't you doing it? I know what I'd do if I was that preacher. Yeah, you'd run everybody off. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here, so I'll bring you some back here. Now watch what he said. Obey them that have the rule over you, and watch this, submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Let me tell you something, friend. Ain't no group of men or no board going to give an account for no church. That local pastor is going to get... Why are you thinking every book in Revelation, when Christ was writing to the church, he always addressed to the messenger first, which is angel, which is the pastor. Amen. Means messenger. Because I can tell you why. So goes the pastor, so goes the church.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm glad we can move on. Can I move on now with some preaching? We had Sunday school and the whole ball of wax this morning. You've been taught that six men run the church. Where's that in your Bible? Pick out these men filled with the Holy Ghost and we may appoint over this business. Why? Waiting on tables, not running the preacher.
Amen.
Preacher, that's about the best preaching you've done all month. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Where's that in your Bible? It's funny, when folk get sick and on the bed, they don't call for deacons. Oh, and this has always got me. Oh, now, we're going to let the preacher preach, but now when it gets to building, you know, he ain't got enough sense to build nothing. Said, you know, we're going to trust him to lead our children to heaven, but we're not going to trust him with the money. God, I feel freedom this morning. I feel a little resistance, but I feel freedom. Who you think you are? I tell you who I am. I'm the pastor of Liberty Baptist Church that God's got ordained that I'd be here at this day and hour, and I'm the under shepherd.
Amen.
And sheep follow the shepherd.
Amen.
Unless you're a goat, then you butt the shepherd. Hey, y'all know Dr. Seamster, don't you? Preaches for me. He was in an old block building one time, South Carolina First Church. He's just a preaching man like a house is afire. He said he heard the door open, said he looked, and he said, Brother Jerry, a billy goat come down the aisle. He said, hey, some of y'all's kin folks looking for you. Son, I love Dr. E, don't you? What are you saying, friend? I'm talking about the day the power came. Oh, my goodness. Ain't it a blessing when the power... Could you imagine going to church without the power? Could you imagine trying to sing the way we did this morning without the power? Could you imagine trying to testify without the power? My goodness, friend. He came with divine prophecy, but it came as a distinct purpose. He came to baptize a baptism. He came to build a body. And he came to beseech a bride. In Revelation chapter 21, I won't go there, verses 1 through 2, you'll see that we are the bride of Christ. I wonder what kind of wives we're making him. Some of y'all, you want a bellyache and complain about your wife. I wonder what kind of wife you're making him. Matter of fact, you can't even come worship him three times a week. I wonder if you just come home to your wife one time a week, would she know y'all was married? Hey, Brother David, I'm going to slip out here. You and Brother Tim watch my back when I run out, all right? Praise God, I'm glad nobody's got these side doors locked this morning. I know when y'all looked at me cross-eyed, there's going to be some preaching in here this morning. Let me ask y'all something because I love you. I just love you to death. Why won't you come back to church Sunday night? Now, don't look down. We ain't praying, we're preaching. I don't understand. I'm telling you, they some of the best people in this country sitting in this building today. Won't you come back at night? Lord God, Sunday morning, can't nobody sit with each other. Sunday night, you can run a John Deere tractor in through here. Thank God some of you laughing, that means you come back to church. Now, y'all must be better than I am. I got to have it. I can show you how it does. You can hear the best message you ever heard preached on Sunday. And about Thursday, you just remember how good it was, but it really ain't doing much for you. Matter of fact, you don't even hardly know what he had to say. That's why you need some warming up. Some tuning up. Warming up. Amen. Because, I mean, I can look at you and tell. You ain't fooling nobody. Reckon what you could do if you was really dedicated. Boy, I wrote something down. The other day, a man was preaching. Don't y'all hate I got all these quotes wrote down in this old Bible? Listen to what he said about commitment. Commitment is a decision, not an emotion. I don't feel like going to church. Does any of us? I wonder if Walmart had a clearance sale tonight. 7 o'clock. Everything in the store, 75% off. I wonder who would get there. Praise God, we'd run the gun counter. I mean, all of us rednecks, Brother Tim, we'd be at the gun counter. I want all that ammo because Obama's getting all of our bullets.
Amen.
Amen. And I know some of y'all sissies would be in the pocketbook aisle. Amen. Preacher, where are you going this sermon? I ain't got a clue. But we show our preaching. What kind of wife are we making him? To build, abide, to beseech, to bride, and then to bestow blessing. He come to bestow blessings. And watch this. We're going to close. Galatians 5. Verse 19. Galatians 5. Verse 19. Was that my grandbaby saying, "Our," or was that some of y'all? Lord God, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach to you. By the way, just turn around and tell yourself, if he didn't love you, he wouldn't preach to you. Turn around. I know you've been wanting to bless somebody out. Tell him.
You say, well, now listen, now we got to keep a sad face in here. Now, we can't be happy. So, listen, now, we can't enjoy nothing. Now, we're too holy. We can't smile in here.
I done found out we real, ain't we? Galatians. He came to bestow his blessings. Galatians 5, verse 19. Watch this. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. That's magic. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revealing such like of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not enter or inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but, he inserts something there, Brother Ricky, the fruit of the Spirit, watch this, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Could you imagine going through the world without this? He came to bestow his blood. Do you realize the Christians in the early church don't have what men you got this morning? Miss Sherry, won't you come, please? Do you realize Christians in the early church before the day of Pentecost, before the Holy Ghost came, did not have what men you've got this morning? Because you can watch this now, is this fruit. There is one fruit with 9 different flavors that God put in us when He saved us. I'm talking about a distinct purpose. He came to bestow His blessing. First of all, watch this now. The fruit of the Spirit, if it's in you, you ought to have love. You know what that is? That's charity and goodwill. We ought to want to do something. It's still okay to do right, congregation. Still all right to do right. Joy, that's gladness. That has nothing to do with what's going on in your life. Joy is Jesus. If we was waiting on a chance to be happy, we never would be happy. Joy is glad. Peace, that's tranquility and rest. Thank God the Holy Ghost can give you rest and tranquility. Long-suffering, that's patience and endurance. Gentleness, that's just old-fashioned kindness. Goodness, that's uprightness of heart. It's still all right to be a Christian. Faith, that's trust. And that's also faithfulness. Meekness, that's mildness and goodness. Gentleness. Meekness is not weakness, sir. Meekness is mildness and gentleness. And then temperance, it's self-controlled by God. The day the power came was a day of divine prophecy. It was a day of distinct purpose. He came to baptize a baptism. He came to build a body, beseech a bride, and to bestow His blessing. But lastly, not only was it a day of divine prophecy and a distinct purpose, but it was a day of declared power. It was a day now, power to live by. Then it was power to learn by. You know something that would do you good this morning? Some of you here, since the powers came in Romans 6, he says this, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness." You've got a choice now. Where you never had that, now you've got a power living in you. Knowing this, that our old man's crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know what? You've got power, if you're saved this morning, to beat any addiction that you have. If you're addicted on pornography, did you know the Holy Ghost can break them chains of sin? Did you know if you're hooked into some things that you cannot get rid of, He says you ought to be reckoned to be dead with Christ, but alive with the Holy Ghost. He can give you power to do things that you've never had. He said a declared power. When the Holy Ghost comes, He convicts, don't He? Thank God He convicts me. When I do wrong, He convicts me. And listen to me, when you do wrong and you're not convicted, you don't have the Holy Ghost. He convicts us. Then when He convicts us, He convinces us that it's exactly what He said. You know the reason some of you got saved the last week or so? Not only has the Holy Ghost convicted you, He's convinced you. That is just what He said. And then I've noticed when this power comes, not only does He convict, and not only do you find that He convinces, but I'm glad He converts. He saves us and baptizes us in the family of Christ. Then He conforms. You know something? I promise you right now, some of you are not where you're going yet. Because this thing with Christ is a daily walk. He conforms us to the image of His dear Son. Brother Daniel and Brother Reuben, Brother Jason, Brother Steve, them men that just all got saved. Jesse and Josh. And even this delightful child. You're not where you're going yet because He conforms. It's a daily conforming. He takes us from here to get us there. Daily. Because of the day that the power came. Isn't He wonderful? I wonder if you got anything in your life bothering you that you need some help with. He can still break the chain of sin. He still saves those sinners. Thank God for the day the power came. What you need, church? What you need in your life? I want to say this. Maybe you're here today and lost and you want to be saved. It'd be a great day to come. Maybe you're here and you say, "God, I need You to help me with something." Well, my sister's playing. Come on. The altar's open. What you need this morning in your life?